There we go. Welcome to RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz, for another in the series of radio writing of American dissonance. Today is defiance. We're on the edge of anarchy, or so we'll assume and take a look. I've got the curator right here of Real Liberty Media with us along for this pondergander. It is a grim nirvine pondergander today. Of anarchy. In contrast, I'm gonna look at that, this edge of anarchy, well, in society and where we are in life, and contrast one to the other, one that protects and one that prays. We'll call him a warrior, the hero, or the mercenary. And I toyed with this name, and I really find it hard to come up with something to describe it a little bit more than the merc, the one that does for profit, versus the one for good and right, and he for power and greed. There's to give honor and glory, or there's to take fame and praise, sacrifice of oneself for others, or tribute for self from others. The best of everything, yeah, making the best of it, or taking the best of everything. Everyone comes for something, to restore or to destroy. To contribute or consume. Yes, I'm recording. I had to double check myself. We all have a choice. The line is clear on this edge of anarchy. How do you live with yourself? With a few good deeds for them of themselves, or as a smokescreen? At what cost? Is it worth the cost? The question of violence, it's a given. But whether it be used for good or bad, it is an unfortunate necessity in this fallen world, but for what it's worth in service, is it worthy? It's your conscience that keeps you from becoming a monster. How much will you go against your principles? At what cost? Welcome, Grimner. So we've got a long ways to go in this idea of what anarchy is.
Okay.
I want to start out with what sounds to be the same word, but it's a little bit different. Moose Girl, I hope you're here. Anarchist. Let me try that one again. Anarchist. Anarchist. Anarchist.
Yeah.
Howdy, Tex. Who's Tex?
I don't know.
Well, I'm an anarchist. Kind of like this hillbilly beating on a banjo. Not so good. Anarchist. Now, have you built a boat? Noah did. Then there's this idea of anarchist. Some people think it's to destroy. And others see it as order. Hi, Moose Girl. She spelt it right. At least the third one. What do you think about anarchy, Grimner?
Well, first off, anarchy, as a definition, of course, most people know, it means no rulers. No rulers. It does not mean no rules. However, you hear a lot of people talking about anarchy as they show on the clap news there. News. Anyway, you know, people, you know, burning stuff down and breaking things and, you know, rioting in the streets. That's not anarchy. That's not even close to anarchy. You'll hear people say, oh, we're going to descend into anarchy. No, 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 no. You will ascend into anarchy once you eliminate the rulers. Anarchy is a very peaceful philosophy, and basically what it means is voluntary cooperation without coercion, without force, amongst the parties involved. Now, of course, there's a lot of different types of anarchy, people that call themselves anarchists that I personally don't consider to be anarchists. I consider myself, because of all the various variations out there of people that consider themselves anarchists, I had to specify that I am an anarcho-capitalist, or ANCAP for short, which is follows along the lines of Murray Rothbard. If you're familiar with Murray Rothbard, ever read any of his writings?
Yeah, not.
Listening to his speeches, you'll understand. It's basically agorism, right? You know what agorism?
Yes, it's coming together in voluntary cooperation.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So anarchy is basically anarcho-capitalism is basically agorism. It's a very peaceful thing, and we follow. I say we, but I use that term loosely. what's called the non-aggression principle, which means you do not aggress against another person. It's not really aggression at that point. But you don't aggress another person. Against another person, unless it's in self-defense, which of course that's not aggression at that point. It's self-defense. So,
I'll have some discussion on that and an example in my life. But right now, as I set this doobie down, I don't think I aggressed against anybody at all. Now, let me give you a situation that, and then I'm going to have to back up the Moose Girl saying that I'm not an anarchist, because I say there's a place for government, and I'll back up off that word right there, government, mind control. Okay.
Good.
Forget the breakdown of the definition. Okay. So, as a situation with one former friend, I guess I'd call him, and as still a friend, because of the way that he presents himself into this life, and then blames others, I've chosen to give him a message, and that is a little deposit right there in his driveway every time I pass by. Now, is that aggression? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? But it's like it's a ticket. I'm giving him a warning ticket that says, I got my eye on you. You screw her over. This is a short story. I really got to just be short on it. But it means that I'm watching. Hey, I got a thing since I disconnected. Am I still here?
You're still here with me, but you're out of the chat.
Okay, it's kicking back in, looks like. Maybe. Okay.
Just let it ride.
There
and keep
it
going.
Is. Yeah, I bumped. All right. So that's an aggression. But as I say, what is it used for? Is it used to protect, or is a predatory manner? Donna was telling me about at the rainbow gatherings, when they've got somebody that's a possible predator, they stick somebody to him with glue and never give him an opportunity to commit a crime. So am I being bad for wrong, or good and right in what I'm doing?
Well, I probably need more information on what the whole situation is about there, but
him. It's who I went to Tulsa with a couple of times. His last trip was just his behavior was completely unacceptable. He blamed his old lady for everything he did and didn't do, everything she did and didn't do. Then tried to assign blame to me, and because I pointed it out to him very clear, the person that he was being. So at the end of the ride and getting back home, it's like, you know what, piss off, and this is not acceptable, and I'm not going to tolerate it from you. So she, as all abused people, accept her situation, and even probably thinks she deserves it, so forth. But I, on the other hand, am not going to let this guy forget that he's a fucking bastard. That's what he is. Thank you, Miss Girl. I'm not going to leave him alone. Yeah, I told him, I said, call the cops, come over and talk to me. I got something for you, which will be me taking ass whipping in the long run, because he's a big old feller. But that doesn't matter. The point is that you stand for right. And to let him think that he can get away with that she has no one listening to. You know, she'd posted, she's surrounded by people that fucking hate her. I guess I should have pre-warned that this will be a language. Oh, I was looking for the proper terminology. I can't say it because it's not a word. Languagary cautionary advice. Something like that. I couldn't bring it together. Yeah, it is my business, Lucy. Yeah, it is. Because if it's not, whose business is it? What, when she's being physically beaten and she has no place to go, whose business is it? If somebody was being abused or molested and you know about it, then whose business is it? Well, I made it my business to let her know that she has somewhere to go, somebody to turn to, that she's not alone, that not everybody hates her. And in the same token, he knows that I know, and I'm watching. So, yeah, you can tell her she needs to get out. I'm reading from chat here for you listening downstream. Tell her that she needs to get out. Well, then what? He's already screwed her around, put everything, took all her inheritance and bought the property and all the possessions that they own in his name. Yeah, that was the one point right there that keyed it for me when he laughed and told her, haha, yeah, they was talking about this. Yeah, I got it all in my name. Uh-huh. Yeah, do you stand by and watch somebody commit crimes, or do you stop it? I appointed myself sheriff in Riverside. I was the only one there, so, hey, one vote. It's all it took. where do you stand on this, Grimner?
Well, if I knew of that kind of thing going on, where a person defenseless or less able to defend themselves against the person that is aggressing against them, abusing them, then I would probably attempt to assist in the situation to the degree that I was capable of. I mean, if talking to this guy does no good, which apparently it doesn't, and if at telling this woman that, hey, you got to get out of this situation, I know it sucks. You've had this inheritance and this guy basically stole it all from you, then it may or may not be too late for that situation. There are, you know, there is always the lawsuit method, but again, she'd have to try and prove what had happened, because did she give her, she must have allowed him to do that, to take her inheritance and use it in the way that he did. And then, you know, he could kick back and laugh about all that stuff, which is, you know, horrible. But if she did allow for all that,
she's screwed. Right.
Yeah, it's on her. So why not at this point cut your losses and get the hell out?
That's on her. You know, she knows her options in this life. All I'm doing, I'm not trying to intervene in anything over there. They'll do what they want. And I learned a long time ago that, you know, there's nothing you can do to change anybody. That's for them. So my only point is yes, I kind of am being the police in the sense that I'm really there to... not in the way that the police operate so much to cause a crime, you know, but to say if something happens, I'm going to be here, right? It's like when I appointed myself sheriff in Riverside. I only had to take two actions, and I let them both off with a warning. One of them was this kid breaking stuff there at the ghost town, and I told him, I said, we can't hang you for it, and the jail's in ruins, so we're going to have to let you go. And the other guy came out there and was dumping stuff. I made him go pick it up and haul it somewhere else. Not on my watch. You know why? Because
right,
I'm an anarchist.
You're a self-proclaimed protector of X, whatever X was, wherever you are.
Yeah.
At that point, when you were in Riverside, it was the little town there, the ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
And where you are now, it's your neighbor.
Yeah. I cleaned up, you know, as also the the custodian, so I did a lot of cleaning and while I was there, documenting. Went to Mesquite, to the museum, and I found out all more about it. And I actually shared information with the library they didn't know on Clyde the Camel from Arrowhead to the Moapa exit in Nevada between Las Vegas and Mesquite, which Bunkerville's right below Mesquite, and then Riverside just on down below Bunkerville. But that's just the smaller communities through there. I lived out there in Moapa as a kid, and then later on as an older teen adult. A lot of history there. And so I wasn't like just somebody that just happened to be there or came there because of the situation and have connection to it. And I felt that be also my responsibility to go there and be a witness. So in the same sense that I'm delivering tickets over here as a policeman, to this old boy down the road, in the same sense, being a witness, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a, I think you're pretty near the line there on this one, because...
Sure I am.
I mean, you're doing something which, against a bad person, but still is the actions you're taking, the proper actions.
It's a little small one, see. It's just an aluminum can right there in his driveway. That's my ticket. That's what it is right there.
Okay, but you are causing him to, you know, take actions to remedy the things that you've done.
Yeah.
Well, you know, go out and pick up the can.
If you get pulled over by a cop and he gives you a ticket, well, you can throw it on the ground or take it with you and not pay it no mind or whatever, but get pulled over again and get another ticket. So I'm just giving a drive-by ticket. and he's out in the front yard. I've been very clear that it's for me. He's out there, and I say, hey, I got you another one. Whew. I find it amusing as well, though. But I call it a necessity to... keep him to knowing that you're being watched. Got my eye on you. So now I'm the neighborhood watch committee all in one. The many Vinnies in one. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's like when I gave the kid a warning for breaking stuff at the ghost town. That was funny for me saying, hey, we don't have we can't hang you for it. The jail's broke down, so... Hey, that's funny. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're doing what you're doing. I have no idea what that has to do with anarchy in any way.
Because it is that definition of anarchy. That's that split, that line where we're on that line. Where's it at? I have it written down somewhere. That line, there's a line, and it's very clear, I think. Between the protector and the prayer, the predator, the mercenary versus the hero. As a lot of people think that anarchy is discord, and as you was talking about when we first started, it's... the flesh says I'm on the radio. Thank flesh. Where do we stand? We got to define that, because it's not a breakdown of society. It's an order of society. But let me back up. Moose Girl, you said I'm not an anarchist. I say there's a necessity in government. Well, ideally there would be less and less of it, but we can't go from here to there without making that journey. How do we get there? We have to certainly hold accountable those people that have taken these positions that they hold in these seats of decision and power. And there's a lot of people trying in this American dissonance. It's a war of conscience, and a lot of people are going down in it. And I've covered and talked about a lot of these people, and people that I've come to know firsthand from Bunkerville, and people that were in the Malheur refuge standoff up there. There's right ways and wrong ways of going about this life, and when you're going to stand in the gap, there's definitely a price to pay. Who got shot?
What?
They're in chat.
Oh, Anti. They're talking about Anti.
What happened to him?
This stupid vaccine crap.
Oh, got the shot. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't shot. They didn't shoot him with a gun. They shot him with a different kind of poison.
Did he get a Krispy Kreme?
I don't know.
Man, I'm not taking no shot without a Krispy Kreme. Hey, there's Chloe. Let me say hi. Hi, Chloe. Thank you. Yeah, I bumped off a little bit. I guess that one was from a little bit ago. So here we are over. I saw Anti say that he did take his shot. All right. I'm distracted.
Yeah. Well, here's the situation. You believe in a place for some government, whatever limited amount, right? So that makes you
a minarchist. Don't say it. It's not.
You
I'm
are.
Not.
That's it, man. You're a minarchist.
I'm a realist. It is what it is. Ideally, I'd like to think that we don't need all the government we got. We don't. Yeah, that's a terrible shot.
Here's the deal about government. They say, if you live within this area that we claim the monopoly over violence in, then we're allowed to do whatever we want to you. You, at that point, say, you may have that right because you claimed it, although nobody actually agreed with you that you have that, but some people. Anyway, but that is the deal with a government. If you were like an anarchist community, you don't have to. I mean, they don't force upon you, certain specific little bizarre rules like a government does. It's a voluntary thing. And let's say I decided, all right, I don't like this community that I'm living in, so I'm going to move to the next one down the road because they got different regulations. I hate that word, but
yeah.
a different set of rules that they live by over there. So I like that one. But here, you can't just move down the road. You can't and do that because the U.S. government claims monopoly over violence within all of the 50 states plus the territories and other places. So even if you do move down the road, you're still under what they believe is their jurisdiction. And there's no opting out of it. You can't say, well, I don't like this, so I'm not going to obey your stuff. As long as, you aren't causing harm to another person or a person's property, then you'll be all right. But that's not the way it goes under these elected people that you were talking about that you need to hold accountable. They need to be eliminated just as well as all of their rules need to be eliminated.
Sure. There's some good rules in this. I mean, we don't exist without rules. There are obvious rules, scientific rules, and I think rules that are absolute and right and wrong. Now, let's say, let's ask about one of your communities there you're talking about. Who decides what those rules or regulations are? Who enforces them if they're violated?
Well, that again, it goes back to being one of the community ideas, the community things that they choose is that this, okay, we're going to say that these folks here are going to, keep a watch. And then if somebody comes and reports, hey, some stuff got stolen from me, I know who did it, and they could go and investigate and see whether or not that person actually did it. And if they did, depending on, of course, the particular community, they could tell that person that you need to pay full restitution back to the person that you harmed, whatever that may be. First, if you stole property from him, give back his property, and then that person is allowed to decide further whether or not there's additional actions that need to be taken. And if that person that was doing the aggressing did not agree to those said actions that were ordained against him, then he would have to leave the community. And if he didn't voluntarily agree, he would have to be banished, and he would live out. See, in that, there's where you have real law. You have common law, natural law. So at that point, and it always comes back to this. People always want to go directly to the worst part of humanity in order to define, well, how would an anarchist community deal with this? Okay, well, that's how you would deal with it. So in your community, you have whatever common law that is there that you've all agreed to within that.
People sign on a line saying I agree, handshake.
Whatever, voice vote, hand vote, everybody, you know,
so
gathered there.
There is voting in anarchy then.
Well, there. I mean, you got to decide on. I mean, like you said, and I've said, anarchy does not mean no rules. It just means no rulers. There's no one person dictating, or no one group of people
making somebody do something that's not.
It's not causing a
harm, a crime to person or property.
Right.
But then there's so many, there's a lot of fuzziness in the line there too, in between.
Well, there's always going to be.
Yeah. So you're talking about a minarchy then, kind of, in a sense.
No.
Where people are free to, you know, fair trade and vote for.
In a minarchy, you're still dealing with governmental type agencies that, you know, set edicts and rules and push different things upon you. What the hell is this? Somebody calling.
Hi. Did you know your car warranty is?
Yeah.
Anyway, hello.
So,
Mom?
Yeah, I'm not answering. anyway. But the basic concepts, the basic ideas of an anarchy, of an anarcho-capitalist anarchy society, are so much, much better. Now, of course, there's, like I said earlier, there's various groups of other people that consider themselves to be like anarcho-socialists or anarcho-communists or anarcho-syndicalists. Various other things that I look at some of the stuff they talk about and things. I've been into their groups on Reddit or whatever and looked at stuff, and they're not anarchists at all. At least not in my view, not in the way I look at stuff. So, they pretend to be, and of course, like. You know, those black bloc people that are always burning down buildings and rioting in the streets and crap like that. That's what the media, the government calls anarchists, which those are a bunch of violent assholes. And they are not anarchists by any stretch in my way of view of looking at things.
So
of course, there are.
You saw the January 6th storming of the Capitol where people walked.
Yeah, they were a bunch of statists. Those were all statists.
Yeah. Walking through the, you know, between the velvet ropes and taking selfies and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were there to fight for one, you know, we like this set of rules rather than the set of rules you're pushing on us. Either way,
yes.
We want rules. We want, you know, cops and military and, all these other government things, and you know, we want to, you know, have this free stuff sent to us, or we don't want you to. Anyway, there was no anarchists there at the January 6th thing.
No. I was amongst those early on that warned against attending that. It knew it was a psyops being set up. And still, nonetheless, there's several people in the poot crowd, the whatever else you want to call them, they're on. They kind of associate into this this right wing ideology, but a lot of that gets lost. they they're really spending a lot of effort to find every single person that entered the Capitol building that day. But you don't see that. You know, they say it's an idea, it's not a movement, about all this stuff, you know, looking at what happened in Portland and all the death and destruction there. You know, those were mostly peaceful protests, right? It's ridiculous. I read this out in Bunkerville in 2014. It was on a placard. It says, two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why. It says, the duty of a patriot is to protect his country from the government. The people are masters above Congress and courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert it. In the long history of the world, very few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of danger. This is that moment, and you are that generation. I will not bend, bow, break, compromise, comply, go quietly, give up, roll over, shut up, sit down, submit, or surrender. So be it. We are that generation. Be the change. That makes it sound like I'm a right-wing patriot type and not an anarchist or a minarchist or what the...
Well, if you are out there defending the Constitution which allowed for the creation of the government that was spread across everybody, regardless of whether or not anybody ever even actually read this document. Now that they lived within that geographic area that this government claims to have a monopoly of violence on, then that would make you a patriot, whether minarchist or not. Certainly, I mean, compared to it's the roots of the government of the United States compared to where it is now. If you went back to the initial size and scope of the government here, then certainly that would make you a much more monarchical type person, because they had very, you know, few rules and regulations at that point.
A lot of people assume that the Constitution is some contract that they never signed with government, but that's not the case. The contract is with those that come into the office of in positions of government, and it's to hold them accountable. Of course, you know, we can look at so many of the changes and how it's been hijacked and stuff. And so the idea then is to hold accountable these people in government, that they at least abide by that point of their contract in the Constitution and making no laws to infringe upon the rights of another, which they do all the time. Look at, of course, we knew it was coming with Biden, you know, more gun control. And you look at history, you can see what happens to apocalypse when they become disarmed, chop their arms off, you know, or bare arms, sleeveless shirts, I guess.
Okay. So you say you're an anarchist, right?
Yeah. In its purest sense.
So if I want to have a nuclear missile, should I be able to have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sherman tank parked in the front yard.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Peace okay, through good. Superior firepower.
No, I'm just saying, you know, they want to, you know, every gun law that's ever been enacted since the Constitution went into effect in what, 1789, should automatically be null and void, right?
Well, yeah, they need to just back up, scrap it all. I mean, when it takes 20,000 pages to set the price of potatoes in Idaho, there's something wrong. You see all these bills they put through? Who can read a 50,000 pages? Come on. Oh, we've got to pass it to know what's in it. Sign it away.
How are you got that other thing that says that ignorance of the law is no excuse? But then again, there's millions of laws, and there's no possible way everybody knows every one of them.
Right. Yeah, everybody commits a felony every day, I guess, is what I've heard.
Three.
Three, yeah.
Whatever. I don't know.
Three's better than one. Yeah. I think my national anthem would be then, I'm about to kick somebody's ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Peace through superior ass kicking. Works for me.
Okay. How about peace through cooperation?
I like that much better. Yeah. Right. And then if they don't cooperate, then we'll go and get some ass kicking done.
they would see you as the one not cooperating because, you know, you're saying, well, we think it should be this way and that way, and they say, no, I don't think so. So you're the one not cooperating by telling them the way you it should be the way you think it should be.
I think you see the contrast. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contrasting the occupation. I mean, that's what we're really doing here. Because we're occupied. I mean, you know, we can't.
All right.
We've already decided. Go ahead.
Tell me about this occupation.
Well, okay, perfect. Goes with what I just get ready to say. We've already demonstrated that we can't set up a separate community to live. We hinted on it at least that because the aggression of government's going to come against you. If you try to set up your peaceful little community like Montana Freeman, if I'm begging the question, they're peaceful. I don't know much about them, and some say they wasn't peaceful, but anyways. Texas, the Republic of Texas, let's take that for example. Or what about Waco? What about Ruby Ridge, him and his family out there? You know, you just can't allow people to live free, because then what'll happen? With that gun, you'll have to deal with it. I got a refresh over here. I got kicked out altogether.
Okay.
No, we can't live free. The government won't allow it.
No, no. You know, realistically, in this world, in this particular country that we're in, you have to be ideologically an anarchist, because you can't really be one. Not in totality. You can, you know, extract yourself as far as possible, as much as possible, from interactions with the government and their rules and regulations and so-called laws. But you can't fully do that if you want to actually live. You know, you got to be a little pragmatic about these kind of things. And I forget who it was the other day there in the chat saying that. Just don't you know, renew your driver's license or your tags on your car. And my response was immediately, fuck that, because, and I think as Moose Girl and I talked about last night, I don't need that kind of harassment that would come down upon my head should I decide to you know, go around and put it in their face that your rules are not working for me. Because they'll say, well, I mean, they may not be. Well, in that case, we'll just kidnap you and throw you into a metal cage somewhere.
Exactly.
And I don't need that. Nobody needs that. So like I said, do your best to extract yourself from their society, from their situations. But there's certain things you still have to do if you want to live in the world, you know.
That's right. That's where we are. We're existing in it. And the only thing that we can hope to do is certainly free our mind. Hello, my food. I'm glad you made it.
Yes. Free your mind.
Yes.
Get out of that status mind trap.
So that's the only place we can really begin, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a terrific thing to at least get your mind in the place where you understand about the tyrannical ways that this government, this land of the free, is a tyranny, well, just as every other government country around the world. And I don't really think there's any place left, right? That there's no government claiming control over whatever area.
They even claim governance over the high seas.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only place you can be free is in your mind, and that makes you an anarchist, is when your mind is free.
It certainly helps. Yeah. So, and you know, back in the day when I was like part of the Libertarian Party, because I thought, oh, Libertarian Party, that sounds good. Liberty Party. Yeah, I like that. And I found out they're basically in the same place. At least they were prior to going full on mainstream nonsense, which they are now, and they're terrible. And they're just trying to be, you know, in power. But basically the Libertarian Party was nothing more than a debating society. Where they would have ideas of this thing they want to do or that thing. But nothing would ever actually really get done, which is why the LP, they languished in obscurity for so long. And now that they decided, oh, well, we're gonna pick some people that agree with a lot of the mainstream political nonsense, they got a little more recognition, but they lost their ethics, they lost their morals.
And, did you have the Dave's Cheaper Store in San Diego when you lived back there? The Cheaper Store.
The what now?
They're called the Cheaper Stores. One was the Dave's up in Sacramento. Dave's Cheaper. They promoted the libertarian idea. I forget one guy. He ran for president one time, and I think something out in California. God, I can't remember who the guy is. But they used to put stuff on their sacks, libertarian type of quotes and stuff at the store.
I'd never heard of them.
No. I'll have to look them up.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to do a check real quick.
Yeah. So, you know. Anyway, like I said, you know, it's... It comes down to what you want to think and believe and the actions you want to do to follow that.
Now, you said something about belief yesterday. There's more than one type of belief.
Belief?
Yeah. Truth. No, you said truth. There's more than one truth.
Yeah, everybody has their own truths. Everybody has their own truths. And there's you know, but that's the kind of thing, you know, like you have these people that believe in global warming, and they believe that it's the truth, that it's all caused by man-made global warming. Of course, once it was pointed out that the data that brought about this big old hockey stick graph was all faked, they didn't care. They just obscured that and moved on from calling it global warming to call it climate change. So there's people that know, they absolutely know that climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, is fact. They believe it. It's absolutely truth to them. It's not even that they believe it. They know it to be true, even though it's not.
Well, it started out as global cooling before it was warming, right?
Of course, you know, the climate cycles in through various modes, and that's just the way it goes, and that's the way it's always been. And if the climate was not changing, was static, the world would die.
Do you think pollution of industry contributes any to climate change?
No. But it does contribute to nastiness locally within one particular area. If they're polluting a river, they're destroying a lot of crap that goes on downstream.
Changing climate.
No.
Acid rain comes down and kills a forest. That's a climate. Right?
Well, it's the weather within a specific area.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a global thing. It is definitely regional to wherever that damage is going on.
Now, what about all the stuff that goes into the ozone? Now, let me back up. Let's go into this idea of manipulating the climate as far as geoengineering. It seems to me that there is an obvious effort in now being talked about and being proposed of solar dimming and putting this particulates in the air. That's how clouds are formed. You know, particulates come together there, and condensation forms about it, making clouds and other weather that falls out of it and all that. So that's climate change there in itself. They've got it going on, and then they talk about, oh, we've got a problem, and it's climate change, but we've already been changing the climate, and now we've got to do something about it, or say they do so that they can have their justifications. So what are the ramifications? Why did they start in the first place? Not to just, like, dump coal ash into the air so they can get away from having to pay to dump it. No, you can see that there's going to be, they create a situation and then profit from it. You know, whatever particulates that are coming out of the Asians airplanes, I know in my lifetime are not consistent with what I saw when I was younger. You never saw an X in the sky, ever. You never saw a condensation trail go from horizon to horizon. You didn't see planes at well below their cruising heights of 30 to 40,000 feet. Now they claim somewhere around 28,000 feet. Used to be a parameter when wind condensation could form at 40 below and 40,000 feet. Now you can have condensation trails persistent. I'm sorry if I'm going to be correct in the vernacular, persistent condensation trails at ground level even. So what do you got? You got to decipher it.
Well, the idea that man can actually change the climate of the entire planet and do it on a consistent, ongoing basis, you call them persistent contrails, which, of course, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but they're not persistent beyond a very temporary amount of time. It's arrogance. It's arrogance. People, humans believe they have all this power to do all these various things, but the nature of the planet and the climate and all of that is much, much more powerful than humans could ever be in order to make those kind of changes. Say we're going to dim the sun. You might spray some crap up there into the sky. Even if you could cover the entire planet with whatever crap you want to do that for, it's not going to stay there. I mean, you'd have to continually do that, right? All the time.
And I think they kind of are.
You don't have the capability. No. I mean, the planet's large.
Yeah, and it used to seem so much larger in traveling this country. Not so much the world for myself, but many people have. I've been able to travel the world via the internet, which is a pretty amazing thing. It is a much smaller planet, and it is persistent. And this, I get in a sidebar, climate change is fact. It's been happening since the beginning of the planet. Fossils, rocks, minerals, and so forth possess the evidence. The only remaining question is not if humans contribute, it's how much. And that question is still largely unanswered. I'm not sure what that... Oh, 5 billion? Oh, when you consider, I guess, 5 billion cars. I don't know what that part is, sorry. the cars on the road, among other things, it is a factor. Yeah, when you consider the planes in the air, everything, all the pollutants out of the stacks coming up, they're certainly contributing and causing change. I agree 100% with that. How much? Yeah, that is the unanswered question. But we do see an obvious attempt at manipulation of the environment by the likes of Gates and those others, right?
Sure. I don't think the whatever humans and their machines and factories and all that produce would be so negligible as to make zero change.
I really disagree with that point. I do. I think we're making a lot of change on just as a byproduct and on purpose, because I do believe there's purposeful manipulation of climate with the chemtrails.
A purposeful attempt at manipulation, mm-hmm. Rather than actual manipulation. It's just so vast. We don't have the power to do that.
Well, whatever the cause, I do know that from when I was a kid and before, and having asked my uncle about, you know, they used to hang their meat in the fall. Now we don't have a consistent winter. You know, it comes above freezing. Used to, it get winter and it stay winter until spring. Can't hang meat like you used to. You remember old smokehouse and this and that, and hanging the hams and whatnot. Hanging the beef.
No, I don't remember that. But I believe you.
Yeah. I was a kid and I lived with my grandma and grandpa's, they still lived the old South. My grandpa was born in 1908. There on the farm, he'd plow the garden with the mule, put in 5 acres of field corn for to feed the animals. You got hogs and chickens and cows and milk cow, and you know, you raise about everything you eat. Go to the store in 1960 something for $20 and about come back with the back of your truck full of groceries of the staples, you know, what you would buy extra. You go out to the smokehouse for your meats and down in the cellar for that with last year's harvest that's been canned and put away. It's a different world we live in today, and the environment has changed to even preclude living in the way that people used to. And definitely government's going to stop you where some places you can't even collect your rainwater, you know?
Right. Yeah, oh, no, whatever you would call it, the environment for how people are allowed to do things or will do things has changed, but that doesn't mean anything about the climate changing is unnatural. It's totally natural. Again, it's cyclic, you know. We've been through various warming periods and cooling periods, going back to the beginning of the planet. Some of them would be make it so that nothing could live under them.
Yeah, I don't think we have a very good accurate rendering of the record of the world. I think a lot of stuff is suppressed and covered up in our natural history and the interpretation of the fossil record, which, that's a whole different subject in any ways.
Yeah.
Hey, that was go ahead.
What? Oh, I would say, so anyway, I think we've, you know, wandered off from the main topic here, but...
Yeah, we did. That's all right. This is probably going to play. I probably shouldn't open. Yeah, that was no good. It didn't. That was a good addition. That was the playlist there before I come to that. But anyways, Ghoul Town, Drink with the Living Dead. So that fit along with... I interrupted the dress. Uh-oh, this one I might try to play. No, it didn't. Good. Dressed in Black, the Dead Country radio show. So it kind of does tie in this climate change we got into in anarchy. Those,
right.
As anarchists, we're trying to stand up for what's right and do what's right, I think. Might have a little different interpretation.
I think regardless of your political bent, standing up for what's right and doing what's right should be your aim, your goal, right? I don't care if you're a crazy ass socialist or a fascist, right wing nutball. you still probably want to do what's right, at least within your own way of thinking, right?
Yeah. So when we say we, you know, we might agree or not, we mean that we're part of a system that's inclusive of this world and the system of government, the system of climate. We're kind of trapped, right? So the best thing we can do is try to make sense of it and address where it's used against us or take shelter. You know, you got to have enough sense to come in out of the rain. Means you're going to have to pay for your driver's license, pay for your property again and again to the government and taxes and on and on and on. But the only place that we can truly be the anarchist that we are is in our mind and be free there. Free your mind. One ringy dingy. What a time. Hold on just a second. Let me give it to you, Grimner.
Yeah, all right. See, so when his phone rings, he answers it. When my phone rings, I kind of look at it like, I don't need to talk to anybody right now. Oh. So, yeah, if it's important to leave a message. And if
I don't have an answer machine, and I don't have caller ID. And so if you call me, I answer or not. And I told them to call me back. She just called to let me know my glasses is ready. Well, that was cool. She goes, just wanted to let you know. So, yeah. I was going to say, hey, piss off. But we interrupt the following program. The current program. Wait. I forgot. I'm easily distracted. And amused.
Yeah, it's very easily.
Yeah, we're coming to the end, right? We're running around in a big old circle, I think. So this is the least preparation I've done on the radio log blog since I started doing radio here. It's going to be short and sweet because normally you got to read the rest. Well, this is radio writing, and it's sounds great, but it's less filling. It's over here spinning. Anyways, I'll finish that up, publishing of this edition of American Dissonance, Defiance on the Edge of Anarchy. And
yeah.
It's a loading.
And remember, as I said at the top there, when you go into anarchy, you will not be descending into anarchy. You will be ascending into anarchy. A far superior way of dealing with other people is voluntarily, without coercion or force. You will ascend into anarchy. Of course, the governments never want you to realize that, to think that way, to understand that you could live perfectly fine, much better, much more prosperously without them. Because if people realized that, they would discard the government. They would no longer have that belief in authority, which is the root of all evil. So, yeah, let yourself ascend into anarchy and discard all of the words coming out of those talking heads, whether it be politicians or supposed media, which is just mockingbirds of the governments of the world, and of course, so that's how that works.
Good, thank you. Well, I think this episode puts me about halfway through the 15 week series Now, let's see. Come on back over here tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Redneck Dentist. Sundays at noon, all times Eastern. We're playing the blues over here, Grimner is, and some fast-fingered trivia in the chat room. That's at noon, 3 o'clock, behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony. At Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Grimner and Circle are back with another radio show. What number is that? Number 5? No, that's you and Moosey will be 5 next week, Thursday, I believe, right? On Free Your Mind.
Yeah.
You and Circle on Mondays. And thanks for joining me today. Next Friday again at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern for American Dissonance. Appreciate y'all listening. And I'm going to go push a button. I'm going to tell you, if I ever go to the circus and there's a clown named Buttons, I'm pushing him too. See you next week. Stop.